have been a part of a series concerning an extreme makeover. All right, we've been rebuilding the family house. Now, Pastor Rick started off with the closet. Amen. And then Pastor Kelly took it over to the kitchen. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to be in the bedroom. Amen. But today, we're in the dining room. Hallelujah. And as Pastor Kelly said, the house is so interconnected. Amen. So what we learn can really fit all the rooms. Praise God. They're so connected. You have a sheet that says home rules. Amen. So we just pray that you would hang this up somewhere. And these rules apply to every room in the house. Scriptures directly from God's heart. God's word to our lives. Amen. Well, today we're in the dining room. Now, the dining room, most times it's become an off-limit room in many of our houses. Amen. And the tables in the dining room really has become a homework table or a place where we do the bills at. Does anybody work on your dining room table or sew or something like that? Oh, okay. Advance a checkbook on a dining room table. Amen. And oftentimes, the family dining in the dining room has become so rare, saints, that if a family has a sit-down dinner in the dining room, then the kids, they ask, like, who's coming? Who's coming to dinner? We're in the dining room tonight. Who's coming? And the little ones, they say, is it Thanksgiving already? We're in the dining room. As a matter of fact, saints, Thanksgiving has become one of the most sacred holidays in our nation, and not for spiritual applications and implications, but because it is a rare opportunity for the entire family to sit down at the dining room table and share a meal. So it is a very precious time for our nation. Well, in preparing for this message on the dining room today, I went in our dining room and I'm like, oh, what is in this room that would represent most dining rooms? And I was looking around, and I said, oh, yeah, that's it. And so I said, oh, yeah, let me bring this basket of fruit. Now, how many have a basket of fruit in your dining room or maybe kitchen? All right, okay, oh, good, got it in the dining room, okay. So if the kitchen and dining room are closely related. Ours is in the dining room, all right. And so I said, yeah, that would be perfect because it represents the dining room and it represents the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So in here we've got the mango of meekness, hallelujah, the banana of joy, praise God. We've got the pear of goodness, and we've got the peach of peace, praise God. And we have, so importantly today, the kiwi of kindness. Amen. How many here like kiwi? All right. Good, good. Kiwi is an underrated fruit. It's fuzzy on the outside, and it's sweet and tangy on the inside. And it's a good, healthy fruit for us to enjoy. Amen. And this is fruit. The fruits of the Spirit are never out of season. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And today we're going to look at this kiwi fruit, saints, of kindness. Kiwi fruit of kindness. And we're going to look at what it is and why it can be so powerful and life-changing in our lives. This kiwi fruit of kindness. I want you to high-five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, take a risk. Discover the power of kiwi kindness. All right. You ready, saints? All right. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh, praise your name, Lord God Almighty. You are such an awesome God, and Lord, such a good God. And we just thank you and praise you today, Lord, for the gift of our families. And gracious God, we just pray that we families will go forth from this place, Lord, after we have meditated on your word and the preaching of your word together, and that we would go forth proclaiming your love, your goodness, and your good news. And Lord, that your deeds of love and mercy and kindness, Lord, would be evident in our lives. There would be much evidences of Christ's love in us and in all that we are, say, and do. And we give you praise, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would indeed be pleasing and acceptable unto you, Lord, and transforming for your glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we all join together to say, amen and amen. Amen. Saint, there's a story about a youth worship teacher who asked her class if they knew the difference between kindness and loving kindness. And one little girl said, "Ooh, I know the difference between kindness and loving kindness." And so she said, "All right, what is it?" And she said, told the teacher, "Kindness is when you ask your mother for a piece of toast and she makes it for you and gives it to you." She says, "But loving kindness is when you ask your mother for some toast and she toasts it and puts butter and jelly on it." All right, that's loving kindness. Amen. Little things make a big difference. Amen. How beautiful a day is when it's been blessed with kindness. And Proverbs tells us that words of kindness are more healing to a drooping heart than even balm or honey. Praise God, saints. Our families can be happier and healthier than ever before if we can just learn to build on the foundation of God's love and kindness. Amen. Well, looking at our sermon note sheet, does everybody have that? All right. And first of all, we're going to address what is kindness. And kindness is the fifth fruit in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Amen. You're going to save your yellow sheet for the little bit later. You're going to hang that up when you get home. All right, so the Greek term for kindness comes from the same word that we get our term kin or kindred. And this literally means that we're supposed to treat others like our own family. All right, so we're going to see how we're supposed to be treating our family today. We are to be compassionate. This means we'll be showing mercy and understanding and love and tenderness. It means for us to be aware of others' hurts and sufferings and problems. And so it includes sympathy and generosity. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word hesed, which is translated kindness, is very meaningful. And it's difficult to translate it into English, and no single word in the English language can convey its whole meaning. So what we try to do with the word hesed, we attempt to express what is being said with phrases like steadfast love, covenantal love, and loving kindness. Amen. So what these phrases are trying to get at is the kind of emotion and action that is felt between parents and children and siblings and spouses and folks who are deepest of friends. But added to that emotion, saints, is the idea of, everybody say, dependability, loyalty, and unswerving commitment. Amen. And so this type of Kiwi kindness is not often found in the world and more or less in our homes right here in the church, but it is sorely needed. Amen. All right. Now, kindness seems like something that's pretty ordinary, but when you really start to think about kindness, saints, it is really remarkable and it's inspiring. Because kindness is a calling. Say that with me. Kindness is a calling. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you." Amen. And so kindness, it calls us to be good and useful and helpful and considerate and gracious in all situations and circumstances. Now, this indeed is a difficult calling. How many know this is difficult? Kindness can be difficult, all right? But it is an essential calling that we must answer if we are to grow in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're going to be more like Christ, we've got to grow in this fruit of kindness. All right, now kindness, it calls that we care for the feelings of others. It calls us to be active. Kindness shows caring. It gets right into the situation with the person. Kindness suffers with those who suffers. It struggles with those who struggles. And it works with those who work. Now, I want us to just imagine, saints, today, what our relationships could be in our families. Hallelujah. If we would actually put this fruit of Kiwi kindness into action. I mean, that steadfast love, covenantal love, loving kindness, dependability, and all these wonderful things. What would our relationships look like in our families? Well, the practice of the fruit of Kiwi kindness can literally change our own lives as well as the lives of those around us. I want to ask you today, how many times when in your life you felt so discouraged and you just felt like everything was going wrong in your life, and there was somebody who came your way and was willing to show you some kindness? Oh, didn't that feel good? Oh, how sweet it is to be experiencing kindness from others and through little things. Amen. Well, in the first century, saints, the believers, they were so kind that many people did not know whether their title was followers of Christ or followers of kindness. They didn't know. And I pray that that would be true of all of us, that people would say, wow, followers of kindness. So as Christians, we are to be known as followers of kindness. And those who know us at home, those whom we sit at the dining room table with, saints, should be able to testify that we are kind. Amen. Those who know us best should be able to testify that we are kind. And if they can't, then we got some work to do. Amen. Amen. So looking at our sermon note sheet, we're going to go on to why is kindness so powerful and life-changing? Well, saints, it's because we are in a spiritual war. We are in a battle, saints. We are in a battle. And the fruit of kindness is powerful and life-changing because it helps us to fight against blessing blockers that the devil places in our families' lives. The devil, you see, Satan's primary objective is to annihilate God's children, to destroy our families, saints. And if Satan can get us to resort to ugliness, unkindness, when dealing with conflict in our families, he's been successful. He just hit the target. He hit the bullseye. Satan wants us to be disobedient. Satan wants us to be negating God's word because Satan despises us. Satan despises our families. He despises when we're one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. He despises God's people who serve the Lord with gladness. So he's going to be busy trying to undo that. Amen. And he's jealous, for he knows that we were made for love. We were made to be one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. We were created for love, for loving relationships with God and with one another. Amen. And yes, saints, our families can be happier, they can be healthier than ever before if we will just build them on the foundation of God's loving kindness. Amen. For we were called and created for love. Now, psychologists as well have concluded, and most of us agree, that the need to feel love is a primary human emotional need. All right, we have that need, all right? So I want us all to just picture inside of us this emotional tank. We all have an emotional tank inside of us. Now, if that emotional tank is full, well, praise God, we got a whole lot of pep in our step and slide in our glide, amen? But if that tank is empty, life becomes more difficult. Now, we all have this tank inside. So, saints, kindness, it is powerful and life-changing because it helps us to keep each other's love tanks full. That's what kindness does. Helps us to keep each other's love tanks full. Therefore, saints, it's essential that all of us, parents, children, siblings, spouses, teenagers, children, all of us, we have this need to feel loved. Amen. It's essential. So then, where must kindness begin, saints? Kindness must begin at home. Amen. For if we don't practice kindness in our homes, among the people whom we love the most, amen, where on earth will we practice it? We got to start at home. So if it isn't happening, high five your neighbor right now and say, make it happen, neighbor. Make it happen. Make it happen. Kindness begins at home. Have you ever heard words like this? Well, you're a whole lot nicer to the people at church than you are to me. Or you're a whole lot nicer to the people of the church than you are to us. Well, that's hard to hear because sometimes it may be true. So why do we come home and we just kick off kindness at the door and then walk on in? Now, amen. Now, people at church, they expect for us to conform to some kind of standard of friendliness. We say, good morning, how are you, good morning. All right, but the same token, we can't get ahead out in the world, on the workplace, at school, wherever we are, being obnoxious and nasty to people, amen? But when we go home for some reason, we think home is different. Oh, saints, since families, we live close together, differences and conflicts are inevitable. All right, now if you live long enough, you're going to experience some conflict. Amen. If you're together long enough, you're going to experience some conflict. Amen. Now, conflict causes emotional and internal conflict. Conflict, it produces physical and even verbal responses. When conflict rises up, oh, there's responses, all right. Now, conflict causes relational turmoil, okay? Now, the only way to win the battle of conflict against Satan is through the spiritual realm, through the spirit realm, not in the flesh realm, saints. So when a conflict unfolds in our lives, we have to deal with that person that we're having that conflict with. So let's think about that a minute. What is a person? What a person is a human being, amen? A human being that is merely clothed in flesh in order to live on this earth. But that human being is a spirit. We are spirits clothed in flesh. That's what we are. We're spirits clothed in flesh. And we have to see that it's not the flesh, but handle it in the spirit. Amen. Now, communicating love to one's family and patients can be very, very difficult, to say the least. Amen. Sometimes it can be very, very hard to understand our loved ones. But saints, long-term kindness between imperfect family members, it's possible. High five your neighbor right now. Say, it is possible. It is possible. Long-term kindness is possible. It is possible. It is possible, saints, when we allow, when we choose the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be evident in the midst of conflict. Amen. If we would choose to pick up the kiwi of kindness, amen, there is healing in there. There's unity. It's life-giving, and it's transforming for our families. Now, I want us to take a look at a young Christian who made a decision to act for the welfare of someone else, and that's what we got to learn to do in our homes. And people who are hard to understand in our lives, maybe very extra grace required, difficult, all right? So we're going to take a look at this little girl who, she's a young Christian who made a decision to pick up the kiwi of kindness.
Have you ever been kind to someone?
Well, there's this girl at school, and I used to ignore her. I felt so sorry for her because hardly anybody was her friend because she did all this goofy stuff, and some boys even made fun of her. So I talked to myself a little while at the lunch table with my friends, and I said, that girl needs a friend, and I'm going to try and be, and I'm going to try to make friends with her. And when I tried to, it just happened. She was so kind to me. I'm like, this is the friend I need. I forgot how we started to become best friends. This started to happen. And now we like hang out with each other. We try to find each other at recess. We try to sit at the same lunch table if it's not too crowded. We hang out with each other all the time.
All right, praise God. Now, saints, how many know that we all have somebody kind of goofy in our family? All right, how many know that we all are a little goofy in some areas? All of us are a little goofy. Amen. Praise God. All right, we're all a little strange sometimes. We're all a little unreasonable sometimes in some areas. So remember the young lady, she said, she looked at the little girl, she felt sorry for the little girl, and one day she was talking to herself while she was at the lunch table. Now, how many know we all have conversations with ourselves? We have conversations. Amen. And so kindness is, it's love in action. And she says, so I was sitting there and I was having a conversation with myself, and I chose to go over there and start a conversation with her. Hallelujah. You see, kindness is not just something in our hearts. It's something that's got to come out, saints. It's got to be expressed, saints. It's action, saints. Because kindness that is held inside is no kindness at all. So when we find ourselves in a situation, it has to be let out. Amen. Now, saints, take for an example the scenario that Pastor Kelly shared with us last week. Now, she was saying when we come home and their shoes right in the middle of the floor. Amen. Now, there was a lot of discussion over that in our Bible studies and just even after church and through the week last week. So I want to look at that from both sides of it. Amen. All right, so just say we come into the house. We've asked 50 times, please don't keep your shoes and leave them in the middle of the floor. All right, so we come in the door, and behold, there are the shoes in the middle of the floor. All right, now, like this little girl, we start having a conversation in our head. Amen. Oh, yes, we do. All right, so then we have to make a choice right then, because in conflict, you know, we can really get upset due to another person's dysfunctional behavior or their goofiness or however we want to put it. So then you see these shoes. All right, let's look at the perspective of the person coming in the house. Now, one way you could go, when you see those shoes in the middle of the floor, you could take it personal. And this is where we really fall, and Satan is able to get, we can take it personal. So I'm calling this the self-hat. Okay, this is my pride, my heart. You know, I've been requesting it, my emotions, you know, this is a self-hat. So I can choose, and I see those shoes on the floor, to put this hat on. And when I put this hat on, I'm thinking about myself in relation to those shoes. And I start thinking, you know what? I have asked them 50 times to not leave those shoes in the floor. So you know what I think? I think they don't love me. I think they don't respect me. I think they're not listening to me. Oh, that really gets me upset. And then we let that seed get in there. And it's hard to just step over and go give them a hug. I'm home, everybody. Ah! Not when we're thinking about ourselves in relation to those shoes. And then after that seed is planted and we come home the next day, those shoes are still there. Oh, we put that hat on, and only it's building, because this time we say, you know what? Not only do they not love me or respect me or are listening to me, you know what? They want to hurt me because they want me to fall over those shoes. You know how I come in and I've got bags? They want me to fall down. They might even want me to get a concussion or something because they will not put those shoes up. Ooh, we get so mad with this hat on, thinking of ourselves in comparison to those shoes. We say, ooh, I'm so mad. So instead of going, we step over the shoes, but it's not with a hug. Ooh, we are just so upset. I told you I'm sick and tired of stepping over these shoes. You're trying to kill me. And I'm trying to kill you. Uh-oh, didn't know that. Okay. All right. Now, if we come in, we see those shoes. We didn't ask so many times. Please don't leave your shoes there. All right, but we don't put the self hat on. We're not going to say this is out to get me. This has nothing to do with me. This is their own goofy behavior. This is their situation where they've got to improve on this thing, all right? And so instead of picking up the bat, we go up and we pick up on the way in. By the way, we need one of these fruit baskets in every room, saints. We pick up the fruit of Kiwi kindness. Hallelujah. And we say, well, we're thinking to ourselves, you know, and we're saying, well, you know, they're not doing this on purpose to disrespect me or to not love me, and they're not trying to hurt me. We just got to really work on this area. So I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit, I'm going to just focus on the Lord, and I'm going to focus on the good in them, and I'm not going to focus on anything negative. I'm not going to put this against me. And so we just step over it, and we're able to go and hug them. All right, now we have got to then say, you know what, let's talk about this. But we're not going to come in all angry and mad, and I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm sick and tired of that. We've got to communicate in love. We got to compromise, and we got to pray for one another. We say, okay, now, I'm going to try to understand you. I realize you've been kicking off your shoes since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. You've been doing it since you were 3 years old. This is a hard habit to break. So we're together with Jesus are going to do it. Because Jesus' message to us in our goofiness and our issues is not try harder and harder. Jesus' message is come, my friend, and I will help you change. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. And to choose this change, to choose Jesus, we have to choose the fruits of the Spirit. So you might come in and you might need to pick up the banana of joy. You might need to pick up the peach of peace. It all depends on what the circumstances. Maybe it'll take the mango of meekness. But kindness, in order to remain emotionally healthy, say, we've got to, okay, I want you to know I'm upset. I really don't like those shoes there in the middle of the floor. Now, Satan knows how to even make it even worse. Because if somebody is coming in with us and these shoes and things are on the floor, we're like, it makes us embarrassed. And we're like, you did that on purpose. Well, you did that on purpose just to embarrass me, didn't you? Leaving all your stuff over there. Okay, but we don't put that self hat on. But if we say, oh, God, oh, just help me, Holy Spirit. Be filled with you, Holy Spirit, so that, oh, I will want to do better. You see, kindness, it really wants to let other people know that you care. So what you have to do is say, on the other side, I'm sorry I left my shoes. Forgive me. I'm working on it. Okay, let's compromise. Let's say if you must kick off your shoes the moment you get in, just kick them over to the side, okay? Here's the closet. Kick them in there. It's okay. Just open the door, okay? Come up with some compromise, amen. We can compromise, amen. And then we can pray one for another. Just say, I need help with kicking off my shoes. And say, okay, I'm praying for you. Let's pray for each other. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. There is power in kindness because it will cause us all to want to be better, to do better. Amen. And love is it's kindness in action. Love is patient. Love is kind. Amen. And we have to allow God to plant that kindness so that that fruit can grow. Now we look at all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, saints. These fruits deal with our character. Everybody say character. Character. And if we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, then kindness must be a part of us and evident. Now I want us to notice that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that kindness comes right after patience. How many know patience helps us be kinder? When you've got patience, you can be kinder. And so if we look at these fruits, they actually build on one another because it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, then goodness. It's like they build, they're connected, they grow together, and we grow as we let the Holy Spirit continue to lead us. The saints, kindness involves finding ways to brighten and cheer the lives of others. All right, so then, if you know that it will brighten and cheer your loved one's day to come in and not find the shoes in the floor, what should you do? Don't leave them there, because kindness, you want to brighten their day, amen? You want to have the dishes done. You want to do something that will brighten and cheer their day. That's what kindness is. And each of us can be spiritual leaders in our homes. Every one of us can be a spiritual leader in every situation. We make the decision, like that little girl, I began having a conversation in my head, and I chose the fruit of kindness. Hallelujah. All right, saints, I want us to take a quick look at what four young Christians have to say about kindness and how it can be expressed. Amen. What we can do to be kind.
What can you do to be kind?
quite a few times I let other people do something that they wanted to do, even though I didn't like it that much. That's not all that often.
Sometimes at the playground, my friends are sad, and I sit next to them and talk to them.
And my grandpa's birthday is coming up, so I made him a birthday card with sparkly pens my mom has.
It means, like, not to be so hard on them and not to be so harsh and cruel. Don't say mean stuff to them and try not to hurt their feelings. God wants us to do that, and it's the right thing.
That was what the first fellow said. He said, well, to be kind, quite a few times, I let others do what they like to do, even though I don't like it. But that's what we have to do sometimes, to be kind. Do what others want to do, not always what we want to do. Amen? Amen. Now, saints, how can we develop and express kindness? And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ways. But guess what? It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some time. Amen. It's going to cost us convenience. And it's going to cost us some labor and some strength. I want us to look at our sermon note sheet. And together, let's just go through these five things that are going to help us develop and express kindness. Everybody got it? The first is, remember the kindness of God towards us. Amen. So before you pick up the bat, you've got to remember now, I actually deserve his bat. Amen. But God didn't give it to me. God, in God's kindness, rescued me and then loves me and continues to love me. So remember the kindness of God. And then second, what do we need to do? Amen. Repent of any callousness we have shown in the past. Like, I don't care if my shoes are on the floor. I don't care if you fall over. I don't care. Repent of that callousness, that spirit that is not of God. And then thirdly, as we yield this area of our life to God. Amen. We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus in us, to help us to love and be kind to others as we yield this area of kindness to God. All right. Fourthly, record the names of specific people whom can, first of all, be more gentle, be more gracious, be more generous. Amen. So I want everybody this week to record the names of people in your life to whom you can be more gentle, gracious, and generous. And then fifthly, amen, relate the truths we've learned to every situation in which we seek, amen, random acts of kindness. Amen. All right, high five your neighbor and say, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. We all have the power to make a difference in someone else's life. Now, saints, I have added in a yellow insert, and there is a homework assignment on it. And this, you can hang up, you can carry it around, but it lets us know that communicating kindness to one's family, it's a challenge and it's difficult. But when we know our loved one's love language, it makes it so much easier. Amen. Now, Gary Chapman, he's a marriage counselor, and he wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment. And he breaks the love languages down so that if we can know what the love languages are, we can then identify in our family who has what love language and start loving them more in their own language. For if I'm talking to you in German and you're speaking to me in Chinese, you know, that's we really got us a problem. Amen. Amen. So knowing your loved one's love language makes it so much easier to express kindness and for them to feel that they are loved, to have their love tank filled. All right, praise God. So what is the first? The first love language is words of affirmation. This is a love language. There are people in your family right now who have this as their love language. Let's read Proverbs 16:24 together. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. All right. So hallelujah. So this is that first love language, and that's the words of affirmation. And read about that. There are some people who thrive on words of affirmation. So if you want to keep their love tank full, then be conscious of that and affirm them. You know, give them a, you know, wow, you did a great job. Wow, that casserole was delicious. Wow, I really love your smile today. Wow, you know, because that really fills their love tank and puts pep in their step and slide in they glide. Hallelujah. And that makes for joy in the family. Now, there's a second love language that someone in your family has, and it is quality time. Now, this person in your family, they just want you to take time with them. You could just sit on the porch with them. You could go play tennis, whatever. They just want to spend time. You know, they want you to know that you're listening, that you'll give them their time. If you hear someone say, you never spend time with me, you never listen to me, you never hear me, it's a good chance that their love language is quality time. And so you'll know how to fill that tank within them. All right, so just be there for this type of person. And when you're talking to this person, don't be having the paper in front of you. I'm listening. I heard everything you said. That's not the person with this love language. They want your attention and they want your time. Take a moment with them. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now we can look at the next love language, and it is the language of gifts. Some just love that, and it's a wonderful love language. So when you come home from time to time, maybe you could bring even a pack of gum, just anything. It makes them think, wow, you thought about me today, and you brought me a gift. It don't have to be no big gift. It can be a little gift. It could be one flower. It could be 10 flowers, whatever the person likes. But it means I love you to them. Their tank gets full when you give them little gifts. Amen. Now, the fourth is acts of service. This type of person, this is their love language. They see you help with the dishes. They see you help with the floor. It's like when you are washing the dishes and they're sitting there watching a cartoon. Oh, that person, like, you are sitting there watching cartoons and you see me doing all this work. Hold up! Hold up! See, they're not feeling love. They want you to say, okay, wait till the commercial. At least say that. Wait till the commercial. I'm going to help you. Da, 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 da. All right, because that will fill their love tank. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And then there's physical touch. Now, this language isn't about the bedroom, okay? The dining room is included with this physical touch. So a family member whose primary language is physical touch, they like hugs, they like pats, they like, you know, nudges, you know, and just that makes them feel physical presence. And accessibility make them feel loved. Amen. All right, so just going through, just shoot your hand up if you think that your love language is words of affirmation. All right, what if you think it's quality time? How many quality time people? Very good, quite a few quality. Gifts, that's your love language. All right, praise God, quite a few. Act of service. All right, amen, I raised my hand again. Very good. And then physical touch. All right, very good. Now, one of the homework assignments is to go home and everybody identify and agree, yes, this is my love language, so that we're all clear on it, so that we know how to be able to express and fill each other's love tanks to a deeper level, and there'll be more harmony, one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. Now, I have another assignment there, approaching conflict situations. All of us will find ourselves in a conflict with somebody in our family. So these are five questions just to reflect and pray on when conflict rises with another person. Ask, what does the Lord appreciate about this person? Can I see those qualities in them? So, you know, as you're stepping over those shoes, remember, what does the Lord appreciate? Can I see those qualities? All right, why am I taking this position? Why is it so necessary that those shoes not be there? And what is important in this situation? Really, is it the shoes? Can you live with them? What alternative solutions are there? How can we compromise? Which could I live with? Which can I live without? How have I contributed to this situation? Is there anything I need to ask the Lord to help me repent of? All right, so you pull this out, and let's say, okay, let's deal with this conflict, and let's look at these five questions together. And then I've added in here five-stage process for handling conflict, and it is the acronym PEACE. Everybody say PEACE. PEACE. P, you got a what? Pray, all right, through the subject of the conflict. Pray, ask God to intervene. Then E, explore each other's positions. Listen to each other, amen. And then three, approach possible solutions. We can work this out. We can work this out. Bringing to commonality, compromise. And then 4C, collaboration is better even than compromise. Praying together can be a powerful way of seeking agreement. Amen. And then fifthly, expel any resentment. Sometimes we just let stuff keep growing and growing and growing, and one day we just have this big explosion. So to avoid that, expel any resentment that you still hold, and then together make peace one with another. All right, saints. Well, I have a daily growth exercise for you to do this week and then for the weeks to come. And that is, first of all, have conversations with God. Just continue to read the Word of God and to mark up your Bibles and to just have discussions with God and devotions with God, listening to God. And then sharing time with your loved one. All right? Sharing time with your loved one. So this week, by the end of the week, everybody should know what the love languages in your family are so that you can better fill the tanks of those whom you love in your family. Amen. I want you to high-five your neighbor and say, neighbor, every day is another chance to get it right. Every day is another chance to get it right. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. You know, saints, even a smile is a gift of kindness. How many of a smile can just pick you up? Just a smile. Maya Angelou, she said, if you only have one smile in you, then give it to the people you love. Don't be grouchy at home and then go out on the street and start grinning, good morning, good morning, good morning, to total strangers. Hallelujah. Saints, if we're really serious about restoring our homes, our families, unity and love and kindness, or do we really just want to look like it a couple hours a week? Which do we want? Do you think God is satisfied with that, just a couple hours a week? No, God isn't. We can learn to relate with. We can learn to love our families. And we can do it by listening to the Holy Spirit, by coming into the house, picking up the kiwi fruit of kindness, not the hat of self, comparing everything to ourselves, but just allowing the Holy Spirit to be in us and flowing through us and to prompt us to kindness to others. I want us to remember this poem. It's in quite a few people's homes that I have visited. And it's a plaque, and it says, Christ is the head of the house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Hallelujah, saints. As families, through kindness and the power thereof, we can learn and discover how to hang out together, amen, to become one in the Spirit, one in the Lord, and even best friends with those who are in our families. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Make it so, Lord.